So section 2, the canonical sources of the Ten Precepts. It is well known that the Buddha wrote nothing, and that for several generations his teachings were preserved by purely oral means. Only when the orally transmitted traditions were finally written down did there come into existence what we call the Buddhist scriptures, or the canonical literature of Buddhism. Following the classification adopted during the period of oral transmission, this vast body of material was traditionally known as the Three Pitaka, or Three Collections, the three being the Vinaya Pitaka, or collection of monastic discipline, the Sutra Pitaka, or collection of discourses, and the Abhidharma Pitaka, or collection of further doctrine. Both spiritually and historically speaking, the most important of the three is the Sutra Pitaka, and references to the Ten Precepts in one form or another are to be found in each of the four, or in the case of the Pali Tipitaka, five Agamas or Nikayas, of which this Pitaka consists. In the case of the Pali recension of the Three Pitaka, the first reference to the Ten Precepts is to be found in the Kutadanta Sutta, the fifth sutta of the Digha Nikaya, or collection of long discourses. This sutta deals with the subject of sacrifice, and is concerned to establish the superiority of the purely moral and spiritual sacrifice taught by the Buddha over the bloody sacrifices of the old Brahminical religion. The Brahmin Kutadanta, who gives his name to the title of the sutta, has assembled many hundreds of animals in readiness for a great sacrifice. But not knowing how to perform it with its threefold method and its 16 accessory instruments, another important instance of this numerical group, he decides to go and ask the Buddha, who knows all about such things. In response to Kutadanta's inquiry, the Buddha relates the story of a great king of former times called Mahavidyuta. This king too had wanted to offer a great sacrifice and had asked the royal chaplain to instruct him how the sacrifice should be performed. The royal chaplain, who it turns out was the Buddha himself in a previous existence, had thereupon given what was in effect a systematic allegorization of the entire sacrificial procedure. Among other things, he told the king, and it is with this part of the sutta that we're at present concerned, about the different kinds of men who would come to his sacrifice. Now, there will come to your sacrifice, sire, men who destroy the life of living things, and men who refrain therefrom, men who take what has not been given, and men who refrain therefrom, men who act evilly in respect of lusts, and men who refrain therefrom, men who speak lies, and men who do not, men who slander, and men who do not, men who speak rudely, and men who do not, men who chatter vain things, and men who refrain therefrom, men who covet, and men who covet not, men who harbour ill will, and men who harbour it not, men whose views are wrong, and men whose views are right. Here, the Ten Precepts, in their positive and negative forms, are clearly referred to. After being given further instruction by the Buddha, who sets forth for his benefit the successive stages of spiritual progress, Kutadanta realizes what is the best sacrifice of all, and obtains the pure and spotless eye of truth, thus becoming a stream entrant. The fact that the Ten Precepts should be referred to in this sutta, in the context of a story of former times, is interesting, suggesting as it does that for the compilers of the collection of long discourses, this particular ethical formula was of great antiquity, or that it belonged, as we would say, to the earliest days of Buddhism.